WRBF 97.7 FM ESPN Radio and ListenTheRef.com presents Dan Girard on Basketball, a weekly inside look at the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program. Tonight's show was brought to you by Taroni's, Allstate Office City, Martin Woodruff State Farm Insurance Agent, and by Fulton Interior Systems. Stan Girard on Basketball was also brought to you by First Federal Savings Bank, Hoosier Home Improvement, and by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Now live with the Stan Girard on Basketball Show, here is your host, Brad Klein.
It's the Stan Girard Radio Show at Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein, happy to be with you. Stan Girard absent, John Aldridge filling in, so a round of applause for Coach Aldridge. Coach, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm convinced you're only here so you are off diaper duty for an hour.
Hey, it is kind of nice. You know, I'm not on this feed. I'll take it what I can get. He's here. He's doing great. So we'll see if he makes it all the way through the show.
How is fatherhood? Hold on. Are you telling me that we're going to put him to sleep? Hopefully we do.
Hopefully
we only put Kylan to sleep and no one else. Is
hopefully,
that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We'll take that. We'll see how it goes.
How is fatherhood, though? Everything good?
Yeah, it's great. Adjusting to the new lifestyle, the sleeping schedules, the feeding, all that type of stuff, and balancing. You know, still being 24/7, 365 on the phone and everything, but thankfully I got Steph who understands the business. She was in it and is a lifesaver, so without her it'd be a whole lot harder than what it is right now.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that, and especially in season, right?
Oh,
it's such
yeah.
a busy time for you and for the team, and USI coming off a narrow loss, 73-70 against Southern Illinois from the weekend. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to have two players as guests, Penn Station East Coast subs of the show, in Jack Milkey and Nick Hiddle, and we'll preview the next game, Shawnee State, on the 15th of Sunday. But let's talk about Southern Illinois. Again, a 73-70 loss. Your takeaways from this game and ultimately why the team came up a little bit short.
Man, I mean, first and foremost, another heartbreaking loss. I mean, when you look at some of our losses this year, you know, we've been in the fight for majority of them. I mean, not having Jack Campion in this game just kind of throws the funk off. But that's one thing we tried to counteract in this recruiting cycle, was having enough depth and enough guys that can play minutes and be able to help you in case a guy goes down. So just looking at the game in a whole, you know, we kind of had three keys that was going to be stopping them in transition, keeping them out of the paint, and winning the rebounding battle. I don't think we won any of those three. So it was tough to kind of go into it knowing exactly what they're going to do. But some teams, you know, they have a good night, we have a bad night. So for us, it was really just kind of hitting that time at halftime when we were down three, just saying, hey, everything's still right in front of us. We have to just adjust to the things we originally said we were going to take away. A couple plays didn't go our way, a couple rebounds we didn't secure. You know, you can't really point at any specific play in those close games because any one of them could have been the differential. But, you know, for us, it's a tough one to lose, especially with how well we played against Indiana State. I thought Indiana State, I never said this to the guys, was a much better team than SIU. So it was a winnable game. You know, it's a hostile environment. You know, we got to find a way to win on the road and just kind of get this team to mature in that way. But overall, you know, you got to take it for what it is. You got to learn from it, and hopefully it gives us a sour taste in our mouth going into Shawnee State and then with some home games going into conference.
Yeah, you mentioned no Jack Campion. Starting point guard's been playing the best basketball of his life, 27 assists, one turnover in the last three games. Would have been nice to have him for this game. I think you guys win it if he's on the floor. But just real quick, if you can kind of give us an update about Campion and the severity of his injury and a rough timeline of when he'll be back.
Yeah, so we got a text from Jamal, our athletic trainer, today. It's nothing serious, nothing's broken, nothing like that. He is coming out of the boot today, so he's walking with very little discomfort. Hopefully have him back Wednesday to Thursday for practice. Obviously that puts him tentative. I mean, he could come in tomorrow, be sore, you know, being out of that boot. So we'll hope to have him back for Shawnee State. But if we don't, you know, we got to get these other guys ready to go. I mean, things happen, and you got to be able to adjust, and it's next man up. But obviously we're going to do everything in our power to get him healthy. And, you know, hopefully he can kind of get that game back, play on it a little bit, see how it feels, and then go into conference play with him fully healthy.
How would you evaluate the backcourt performance, specifically the point guard performance, in the absence of Campion on Saturday against Southern Illinois? You've got Sam Cody making that start, his third start of his young D1 career, and then Braxton Jones had a few minutes. Sam Mervis came off the bench for, I think, 11 minutes. But how would you evaluate that position group?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I think for us, you know, we made a lot of the same mistakes we've seen out of certain guys, and we're trying to get them out of those habits. So in that regard, seeing those same habits reoccur is frustrating. But understanding that those guys are Braxton and and Sam Cody are playing through a new system, a new style, trying to learn it. And you can't, as much as we try to simulate in-game reps, you can't simulate in-game in practice. You know, just the nerves, the crowd, you know, the way the game's being called from an officiating standpoint, how the team is guarding us, you know, that pressure. And then, obviously, you use SIU as a specific example. I mean, their starting five is 6'5 to 6'8, very physical, very strong, hard to simulate that in practice, you know, day in and day out. So I thought they did well. I mean, they got to learn the offense a little bit better. And, you know, Braxton coming off some injuries, we're trying to get him back. We're trying to get him in the flow. He's had a hard job, as long as some of our other new guys, of trying to learn really three positions. So when we go offense review, you know, it's not just so easy for Braxton to just watch the point guard, right? He has to be a visual learner and then go out and do it. And then he might get moved to the two, which has a totally different role. So for him to kind of try to learn it, he's been up in our office drawing up plays and trying to get him up to speed. But, again, you can't simulate it besides him doing it. And sometimes these guys are visual learners. Sometimes they're not, right? Sometimes they got to play through mistakes and really kind of mess up three or four times, which is frustrating to us, before they realize it. So to see him kind of do some things he did, and we're just trying to get him up to speed. I think he's now 3-4 games in.
Yeah.
Where other guys, you know, were 7 games in. So they had 7 games under their belt of kind of this – you know, real-life game reps. So getting him up to speed and then just getting Sam Cody again to kind of play free but also play with pace and learn the offense. I mean, he's an extremely good passer. So trying to get that mix of Campion's speed and Sam Cody's vision. But he's a new guy. You know, it's going to take some time for him to figure it out. And, you know, hopefully now with this new era of kids leaving and coming and going, you know, you hope that you have that development of multiple years in the program, time to learn and progress. I mean, I'd look at Jack Campion and what it's done for him. You know, just kind of the year and the setback he had freshman year, okay, coming in sophomore year, he took on the whole load. He had to have it all. We didn't have too many good weapons around him to make him successful. And now you see him flourish as a junior. And like you said, the stat was 20-something, 27 one assist, you know.
Yeah.
So they're going to get better. It just takes time. It's not going to be a flash in the pan or something that's done overnight.
Speaking of stats, I'm recapping the narrow loss against Southern Illinois, 73-70 over the weekend. Stephen Alone, he had plenty of stats, and namely 24 points, a career high, 10 of 11 from the field. Best shooting performance with that kind of volume since 2005, Chris Thompson. So
yeah.
He's in good company. What made him effective in this game, specifically in the first half when he had 20?
I mean, Stephen being Stephen, he's a heck of a player. He's got such a knack around the rim. And you know, one thing, I've had a lot of people call or talk to me or just kind of give opinions after the game, and he jumps so high. And they say, you know, he shoots with left hand every single time. If it's not broke.
Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, until somebody stops it. But his elevation is just ridiculous on how high he can get up. And just it seems as if he just drops it into the rim.
Yeah.
But Stephen is a heck of a learner. He's a heck of a player. He's pretty quiet, but he's always asking questions. You know, off the court, he's really kind of locked into what we ask him to do. And then he just has that motor. You know, he plays really hard, and good things happen when you play hard. So for him to combine the athleticism of what he has, the touch around the rim, the vertical, you know, all that stuff that plays into the factor of him being successful. But him just coming out with that motor and that intensity takes it to a whole other level. It's hard to guard. You know, he's kind of progressed a little bit to catching off the block and being able to drive and take guys off the bounce, and that's us slowly starting to progress him to the four. Obviously, he's not going to shoot it as good as Jack Milkey right now or some of those other guys, but, you know, for us to kind of look at some jumbo lineups of him moving to the four and his natural progression as a player. I mean, if he's going to go on and play at the next level, guys are going to be much bigger, thicker, stronger. Now, Stephen will be quicker and more athletic, but the natural progression for him is to get to be a better ball handler. Perfect that outside shot. I think he knocked down one mid-range this year. We work on it, not much in season. We work on what he should be doing, but just get him to continue to progress and him working hard is what ultimately makes him successful.
Now, ironically, I think the mid-range jumper he hit was actually against DePaul when he had 23, which was his career high until Saturday, a 24-point performance for him. Right now kind of encapsulates the word or the phrase, game changer. And if you need proof about that, well, the game changed, and not in a good way, when he got into foul trouble. I think it was 3 minutes into the second half, picked up his fourth foul. So what was the strategy among the staff and managing your rotation when Alone was basically eliminated from the second half?
I mean, it was hard. You know, he picked up two quick ones, almost back-to-back, I think, when I was rewatching the film today. And, you know, when he comes out of the game, we're basically presented with two options. You can play another big, and you can play Alex and some other guys, or you can try to go small. And hopefully now we'll have another option with Nick Hiddle coming back. But, you know, you have an option of playing big or you move Milky to the five and you play another skilled guard. So with the point guard situation being down, you know, it's no lie that Sam Mervis isn't an extreme offensive scoring threat. He is a facilitator, so we just got to balance those guys on the court and who is going to be the most successful for us on the defensive end while also bringing some offense efficiency to the table. So we tried a couple different alignments. You saw Alex go in for a little bit, Milky to the five, didn't give Scheider a run, but, you know, it just comes with guys gaining confidence and getting preparation, and, you know, that's going to come with time. But for us, we felt Milky was the way to go. I mean, they were, you know, like I said, 6'8". Antoine Massey was pretty skilled. He's not going to shoot it from the outside, but he's going to catch and drive. So from a speed and athleticism and quickness standpoint, Milky was a better matchup just to move his feet and be able to guard on the perimeter, especially if he was going to switch on to Jared Hensley as well. So that's what we ultimately went with. And then Milky's three-point shooting, it's hard to take him off the floor.
Yeah, you guys were able to protect Milky as well in the zone for a little bit of time. Was that ever a consideration of playing Steven but protecting him and trying to keep him on the floor with his own defense?
It was. I mean, we looked at zone. They'd been zoned a couple times, and you know, I think they shot 38% from three against us. On the year, they're a 32% three-point shooting team. So we obviously looked at zone, we thought about it, and it was in our back pocket to use with any of our lineups. But at that moment in time, we were trading buckets. I mean, we were scoring, we couldn't get a stop, we weren't keeping them out of the paint.
Yeah.
So we kind of rolled the dice a little bit and said, okay, we'll play the numbers game and we'll go zone to hopefully keep them out of the paint. Hopefully they don't shoot it very well. I think they ended up getting, I think it was three or four offensive rebounds in one possession. They had a wide open three and missed it, and then we just kind of fell out of a flow of, okay, we feel like they're figuring out the zone. Let's switch back to man, and it just kind of came a battle of that, of trying to keep them on their toes while also playing our personnel to the best of their abilities on defense.
John Aldridge here on WREF, filling in for Stan Girard on the Stan Girard Radio Show, talking about last weekend and a 73-70 loss to Southern Illinois. Don't want to ignore Jalen Randle and his impact on this game. 22 points, kind of a similar arc to Stevens in that he was a force offensively and defensively when he was on the court, got into some foul trouble and took him away for a lot of the second half. But, you know, offensively, he continues to shine. 3 of 3 from the perimeter, which is probably his biggest leap forward from his first 2 years collegiately at Alabama A&M. 19% at Alabama A&M in 2 seasons, now up to 54% on 19 of 35. Now, here's the deal, Coach. You are the only coach on the staff with a microphone in front of his face right now. Take credit for that three-point leap if you want to, but seriously, how do you diagnose that? Why is he taking that significant a leap from range?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's style of play number one, and in a close second, or you could either go one or two, is putting confidence in a young man. I mean, through his recruitment process, we diligently watched his film, and, you know, he kind of told us in the recruiting process, and you hear it from all these guys, and in the portal, it's speed dating, so
yeah.
You got to kind of shift through the BS pretty quickly, but he mentioned a lot just dealing with, you know, this coach was holding me back, and he didn't word it exactly that way, but that's what a lot of these kids say, right, is, oh, the coach didn't like me, didn't hold me back. But then when you watch the tape, a lot of it was true, and, you know, Spruance really dove pretty deep into his film and, you know, kind of stressed that. And then when he came on his visit, he said the same thing. We just kept evaluating. But their system, just that coach would play, whether you were a senior and you were better than Jalen Randle or not, he was going to play you because you were senior. And when you looked at the numbers and you looked at the data, that matched up with what Jalen Randle was telling us. So in the world of speed dating and in the portal, you kind of take that for what it is and you watch film as a coach. But you look at his form, the shot's not broken. You know, it's not bad. And their system that they played at Alabama A&M just didn't result in a lot of threes for really any of their guys, except for a few guys who just kind of chucked that were bad shots. So you get Jalen in the right, or any player in the right system, with coaches around him that are instilling confidence in him, and we shoot a lot in practice, and I think the biggest thing that Coach Girard, that I've learned from him, is pre-practice, post-practice, in practice, is just game-like quick shooting and doing it as a team and kind of getting that environment around, because he'll go in the gym by himself. Any of these guys will, and that's great. Every guy needs to do that. But to be able to move and run with pace and do it in practice is different. That's the quickest and easiest way to try to simulate game, because very rarely are you going to be in the gym by yourself. There's no crowd noise. There's nobody, you know, there's so many different factors. So just getting Jalen in that environment of shooting a lot every day. I mean, he probably gets anywhere from 50 to 75, maybe 100 threes a day, and you stack that since June, I mean, that's going to result in guys shooting the ball better. So okay. I'm not going to take credit. That's Jalen Randle. That's who gets the credit.
I like it. Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. John Aldridge is pinch hitting, talking about the Southern Illinois game from this past weekend. Jalen Randle, 22. Stephen Alomani, 24 points, and they combined for 72% from the field, 46 points for the two of them. So they played really well in a 73-70 loss. All right, Jack Milkey also played well. He's going to hop on the show in the hot seat at the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show on the other side here on WREF.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise.
At Taroni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni,
and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto. At Penn Station East Coast Subs, it really is all about good taste. And in November, they are serving up their delicious Philly cheesesteak sandwich with their fresh-cut fries and a drink for just $12.99. The Philly cheesesteak sandwich, cooked on your favorite type bread with large portions of meat and your favorite toppings, all for less than $13. Also, it's not too early to start thinking about holiday parties. Penn Station can bring their delicious menu to your home or business through both DoorDash and Grubhub. Penn Station East Coast Subs with locations in Evansville, Newburgh, Henderson, and Owensboro.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF. Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Glunn. Happy to be with you. Penn Station East Coast Sub of the show. Jack Milkey is back. Round of applause
hello,
for Milk.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. We thought we were done with Jack Milkey. He's already been on the show this year, but we're double dipping, and he's back.
Can't get rid of me.
It's unfortunate.
Some might say. Some might say the opposite.
Really appreciate you taking the time. So finals are done. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, for me, at
for
least the master's program classes, some of them end Friday, some of them ended Sunday. So I'm done for the semester. So I'm.
So what is the day in the life of a day in the life of Jack Milkey with really no class and no basketball for a full week? Now you're practicing, but no games this week. So what are you doing?
Well, today. You know, do you want to, like, just like play-by-play of the day? I think I woke up at 7:10 or 7:12 today.
Okay. 7:12.
I think I got...
You slept in.
Eight. Hold on, let me...
Wow.
I can get you the amount of sleep. Hold on.
This is a
working
lot.
On it, working on it.
Working
on it. 8 hours and 25 minutes of sleep.
It's not bad.
Then woke up, had breakfast. 4 eggs, bagel, Greek yogurt, banana.
Wow.
Over easy eggs. Then...
Which side of the pillow did you sleep on?
Flipped it over a couple times in the night, so both. Then went and shot around, like, 8:45-ish until, like, 10:15. Watched some clips with Coach Novsek afterwards. Went home, ate lunch, then went back and lifted, and then I've just been... Relaxing the rest of the day.
Relaxing and getting ready for your radio appearance.
Serious prep.
No doubt, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Jack Milkey here on WREF. You know, the last time we had you on the show, it was preseason, right? It was just before the first game. We were talking about your homecoming.
I think it was the first show of the year.
It was the first show of the year. So it was just before the season began. How was that, that homecoming to Wintrust Arena, Chicago? I know you had a fair amount of Milkey contingency there.
It was nice. It was nice to see everybody. A lot of them, the first chance they've gotten to come to one of my games, just because obviously it's a it's a 5.5 hour journey that's not always makeable for some people. But so it was nice to see everybody, and sadly, the game didn't go the way we wanted it to, but it was nice to see him.
Is that more nerve-wracking, playing in front of a kind of a loaded family-slash-friend section?
Not particularly. No. I feel like when they jump the ball up and stuff, you're not really thinking about any of that at that point. You're just kind of go mode. So I didn't consider it at all. I kind of just went and played.
You guys played really well in that game. A narrow loss, a tough loss. But then again, I don't know if last year's team is in a game like that. I think mm-hmm. this year's team has taken a massive leap forward. You have an interesting perspective, I'm sure, because you are a captain. This locker room feels different. It is different. How and why?
I feel like we're a more resilient and a more together group than last year. I think you look at some of our games, like look at the Bellarmine game where we're down, 19 with mm-hmm. 10 minutes? I don't know the exact time, but 10 minutes remaining. I just feel like we've shown our resiliency, and that's something that separates this team from the last team, and that we might, I don't know if we would have come back in that game and given ourselves a chance to win it versus this year we did. And just that mentality and that fight that we kind of show night in and night out, I think is just different. It's going to give us a chance to do something special down the stretch.
I feel like last year, without going into too much detail, last year you and the other captains, Murr, for example, were very hands-on, and it was pretty taxing last year trying to get a lot of guys in line and trying to keep the group together. How hands-on is it this year, or is it more of an organic mesh for this group?
I feel like it's definitely more of an organic mesh, and I feel like it's a lot more of people doing what they're supposed to do without us having to do as much ringing and trying to get them to do. So I feel like guys are more falling into what the coaches expect of them, what their teammates expect of them. I think that's made this year a lot easier thus far.
You know, again, a senior leader and a captain, Jack Milkey, you're on WREF, talking about the locker room, the development, and the growth, and the unity of this team. But then again, right now, with 4 wins, 5 losses, you guys are light years ahead of where you were a season ago. Mm-hmm. What do you think is, I don't want to say missing, but what do you think is next as far as a checklist for this team to accomplish in order to reach the team's full potential?
I think just continuing to, I think we found an identity in our pace and style of play in those, South Dakota and
Indiana State
wins. I think continuing to solidify that and build upon that and continuing to establish that as we go throughout the year, and just, I felt like something last year we didn't really have an identity. We were kind of just all over the place all the time. So continuing to feed into that identity and just kind of nurture it and helping it grow as we continue through the season will be important for us.
Well, playing in transition, you're right. That certainly is the team identity, or at least it seems to be, especially mm-hmm. offensively. Very stark contrast from last year. Now you seem to be able to play in an up-tempo or slower style. You're mm-hmm. a versatile player, but how has that been as one of the returners, and if you could speak for the rest of the returners, in trying to mold from last year where it was very half-court, Jeremiah getting to the free-throw line, slowed down the pace immensely, mm-hmm. to this year where it is run, run, run?
I think it's been good. I mean, I think it's just been, it's giving guys more opportunities to play their game and to knock down shots and do good things for our team. And I think it's been a nice change of pace. I think it's played into a lot of our advantages as a team, and it's obviously helped us win more thus far, so that's never going to complain about that. So I think it's been very good.
You know, we were just talking about Stephen Olowoni and his 91% field goal percentage against Southern Illinois, and his career best 24 points. Mm-hmm. Post players are always going to be more consistent than shooters. Mm-hmm. You got off to a slower start, 6 of your first 28, but since then, 11 for your last 20. What mm-hmm. shifted for you kind of in the middle of this first 9-game stretch?
That's kind of, shooting is a fickle mistress at times, and at the start of the year, shot was just a little bit off, and I wasn't hitting him, but just, I mean, not really trying to change anything, just staying consistent with your process and just putting in work every day and just, you know, knowing that it's going to come around and playing the law of averages and knowing that when you put in a certain amount of time and a certain amount of effort into a craft, that's going to come around. Whether, like, you're going to have games where you go 0-4 or 0-5, you're going to have games where you hit all of them. It's just how it works. And this year, I had 2 of those games at the start of the year, and just kind of trying not to think about that and moving forwards.
You know, I feel like every player on the floor, probably 4 players on the floor, point guard dependent. Everyone is at least somewhat dependent on how is the ball moving. Moving the ball is largely moving as a result of the point guard play. Mm-hmm. Jack Campion has played extremely well as the starter, 27 assists in his last three games, only one turnover. That's the stat that we keep on going back mm-hmm. to. And I don't think it's a huge coincidence that you've been shooting extremely well, 11 for your last 20, mm-hmm. in conjunction with that. So what is Campion doing to help you, and what are you doing to help him?
I think he's been doing a really great job of pushing the pace and just finding guys that are open and making simple plays, not overcomplicating things. I think that's helped us hugely as a team go on runs and make shots and shoot higher percentages of the squad. And I don't do much. I just try to get open as much as I can, and he finds me normally, so I'm not going to take too much credit for that.
Again, Jack Milkey here on WREF. So you are done with finals for the semester. You, Hiddle, and Merv are all in the master's program, mm-hmm. all done with finals, same classes. So I know you said, okay, you gave me a very detailed mm-hmm. rundown of your schedule. I appreciate that, by the way, the detail.
That was
intense. What else do you think you might do to maybe relax and hit the reset button before Shawnee State? Because you do have a mini break in here without being off from practice, in mm-hmm. a way.
Just trying to help the body recover, hit the training room, hit the cold tub, use the compression boots just to try and recover in any way you can, and then just continue to rest. The best thing there truly is for recovery is eating good nutrition and sleep. That's the only true way you can recover.
So 8 hours and 12 minutes and 45 seconds.
25 last night.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
I think it was 80% sleep meat. Hit good sleep meat.
Using some kind of app for that?
Yes, Whoop app.
Whoop. My friend just downloaded or just got like the Whoop watch.
Yeah,
he's really into it. Mm-hmm. I'm making fun of him, though, because he had an Apple Watch, and he replaced it for the Whoop. And I don't know. I've never worn it or have it, but his Whoop doesn't tell him the time.
No, it does not. Show.
Right. So, to me, like it's incredible. Like, this thing can tell you your heart rate, the longitude and latitude of where you stand, and can probably tell you your hopes, thoughts, and dreams, but it can't tell you the time.
Blood, oxygen, heart rate variability, skin temperature,
that's
you
what
go
I'm saying.
Down the line.
So usually I ask him, like, hey, what time is it? And just to see his reaction, like, okay, Brad, like, I get it.
Fortunately, most of us do carry our phones in our pockets.
That's true.
We do tell the time perfectly.
I'm just saying. It looks like a watch, and it kind of is, it kind of isn't, and it doesn't tell you the time. But that's pretty cool. So when did you start evaluating and really, really analyzing your sleep?
I got it a year ago, just under a year ago, and just started kind of looking into that, and just because I was curious about it and thought it would be interesting.
See, that's very different from my habit. Usually I'm just like turning on a Seinfeld rerun and just hoping to go to sleep by the end of the episode. That's kind of my my strategy for sleep.
Hey, anyway, if it works for you, fair enough.
Is it working? I don't know. Not really.
How rested do you feel?
Not great.
Okay,
not great.
Well, then there you go. Maybe we need to change something.
Not great. Jack Milkey here on WREF. So as you guys get ready for Shawnee State, it's also preparation for the OVC slate. Right? Mm-hmm. Probably the last time that we as a station and as a fan base get to hear from you before the OVC schedule begins, mm-hmm. December 19th, Tennessee State. As a senior and as a leader of this team, what do you think is left? Because you know what it takes to win in this league. Now, granted, bit of a new-look league, I should say, with transfer portal. But overall, how far is this team from being where they need to be, not only to compete, but to win in this OVC?
I honestly think we're right there. I think we're right on the precipice of some really good things and just continuing to trust in what the coaches are saying and just continuing to practice what they preach and putting in the time and the effort and the work and just being consistent every day. I think we're going to be in a really good spot to do some things that haven't been done here before.
Jack Milkey here on WREF, the Stan Gerard Radio Show. John Aldridge pinch hitting for Coach Gerard. Jack, really appreciate your time. The second appearance of the year. So you lead the team in that category, which
there
is an
go.
Impressive stat.
There we go.
Anyway, a round of applause for Jack. He's well rested, we could tell. John Aldridge is back in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Tarone, ain't nothing but a pizza party. Tarone and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down at the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Tarone's.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
Attention business owners, are you looking for a bank that understands your unique needs? With First Federal Savings Bank's free business checking, managing your company's finances has never been easier. No monthly fees or minimum balances, convenient online banking, unlimited number of transactions, and dedicated support from their team of experts. With their unique best rate interest rate guarantee and flexible account options, you can keep your business moving forward while maximizing your returns. Visit any of their 10 convenient banking locations to learn more. First Federal Savings Bank, member FDIC.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
ESPN 97.7 WREF, Sebring, Henderson, and Evansville. ESPN 97.7 The Ref.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show. At Taroni's on Main Street, I'm Brad Klein. Happy to be with you. John Aldridge is back, filling in for Stan Gerard, the pinch hitter on this program. Hey, Coach, thanks for coming back. You know, whenever Coach leaves to make way for a player and he starts, you know, eating his dinner, I think we might lose this guy to the pizza. You know, it's kind of touch and go sometimes. So you came back. So
I did. You almost lost me to little man back there more than anything.
Oh, yeah? How's he doing back there?
He's good. He's getting through it. He needs to go to sleep, but we'll figure that out.
What can I do to make the show a little bit more boring and, you know, lullaby for him?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing's working right
he's
now.
He's helpless. So
he's just on his own back there.
You just let me know. You know, I could speak in a more soothing tone, you know, kind of rock him to sleep. Or I could try, at least.
You come over. We'll give him for you for a couple hours. Yeah. You do the feed. Try to put him to sleep. Let us know how that goes.
I've been told. Yeah, okay. That works. Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. Everyone is interested, including Kylan. That's why he's not asleep. And John Aldridge is here to talk about USI. You know, Coach, we were just talking to Jack Milkey, first Penn Station East Coast sub of this show. Nick Kittle coming up soon. And I did ask him briefly about the OVC slate and how far this team is from competing and from being at that level to compete. Let's put more meat on those bones. Where do you think the team is right now? Because the thing is, it's a 30-game regular season, and it's always a progression. It's always a ramp-up for
Absolutely.
The OVC. And you guys are basically there with one more non-conference game to go. So how would you evaluate that from a coach's standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, we need to clean some things up for Shawnee State, and I think that's going to be a good game for us to kind of, you know, really knock the rust off or polish some things that we need to get fixed. But looking at this team, I mean, there's so many positives when you look at this group. And you do your research across the league of who left and who's still here, and obviously there's been some extreme voids that have been created by the transfer portal and coaches leaving and stuff like that. So we just really put an emphasis in this recruiting class of getting depth, having the right guys too. And now that we've started to gel, and Noki talked a little bit about it, but this group is just so different. And then when you look at the talent that we have and the way guys are playing, if we can get that stretch of the South Dakota and Indiana State and we can sustain that run and, you know, we get through this last little lull of Christmas break and guys get to go home and now you kind of, where's your conditioning at, where's your mind at, all those stuff, you got to get kind of readjusted back in. But the beauty of it is we have three home games to start the conference play, and we're going to get tested right away. I think it's Tennessee State, UT Martin, Moorhead, so you look at that as, okay, those are three huge games for us that if we can get all three of those at home, that's a great start into conference play. And, you know, once we kind of get that groove going and we get our guys back gelling, I really think this team can win it. I really do. We're not a staff that talks about it a whole lot. You know, process-driven is everything. Respect your next opponent. All of those things. But, you know, you kind of look at it big picture and think, okay, if this group can continue to play the way that they're playing and play hard and continue to do the things we preach day in, day out that are kind of our principles that have always been instilled from the day we got here, you know, you guys can do something special and do great things. So just trying to get them to be on the same page and continue forward with the mission is the biggest thing. You know, we break down a lot of times where practice, you know, Jalen and the guys and Milky and all those guys, they say on a mission on three. So they have the mindset. They know it's coming up, and it's really hard as us as coaches, especially coming from Division II world where, you know, the non-conference was basically everything. You know, and if you lost one or two, especially in a crossover in region, you could almost guarantee to kiss your postseason goodbye, right? I mean, it just was what it was. So it's been an adjustment for us as coaches into this D1 landscape of teams are going to buy you, which means they're going to pay you a lot of money to come because it's supposed to be an L. It's supposed to be a loss for us and a win for them. And, you know, every coach at our level, like I think you had a tweet that it was only us and SIUE that had multiple Division I wins or whatever. And, you know, you look at the OVC, teams are getting bought. They're all trying to figure it out. 60-plus guys enter the portal every year. So you're trying to build a new team, keep the vibes positive, keep guys progressing and learning, keeping them here, understanding that they may be thinking in a couple months from now, I might change roles or whatever. So just trying to keep everybody on the same page while progressing into conference play is probably the hardest thing at this level from what we've seen is what it is. So I think we got a good chance. You know, we got to get guys focused and relocked in after Christmas break. But the talent, the tools, everything is there to make a deep run and compete for that OVC regular title and tournament title.
A bit of a tangent because I do want to ask you mostly about the non-conference and how you guys have progressed in the non-conference. But you mentioned the OVC, and it seems like you're keeping fairly close tabs on the OVC despite not playing these teams yet.
Right.
We know what the preseason poll says and whatnot, but like you said, revolving door of a league and the transfer portal, for better or for worse, hits the OVC very hard every year. What is your take on the OVC? I mean, who do you think, outside of USI, because I think you believe it and so do I, that USI is towards the top of this league this year. Who else? Who are we looking at as OVC, real contenders?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of Little Rock. Obviously, they lost a key player for them with an ACL injury. It's unfortunate, and I feel for the young man, but they're still very talented. You know, they're going to be a tough place to play at on the road, and they're going to be physical and aggressive. I think them, SIUE is going to be really good with Rayshon Taylor coming back. I watched them versus Ball State. They just got a really good pieces. They can shoot the ball, but they're a team that is heavily reliant on the three-point shot. So if you can take that away and kind of guard those guys and take them out of it, which I don't think in our time of being here, maybe I'm misremembering, but I don't think SIUE has blown us out like they've blown out some other guys, some other teams in the OVC. So we've done a pretty good job of handling that personnel and that scout with Rayshon Taylor and, Polo is gone now, DeMarco Minor, but they've had some really good guards. So I put SIUE up there as well. Western Illinois is going to be a hit or a miss depending on how they're playing in any given night. But I think the beauty and maybe the curse of this league is it is a toss-up every single year. It just is. Like, I think if we would have had more experience with our first group at the Division I level, they could have made a run to win it all with Polakovich and all those guys. And, last year we were low in the talent pool and we had some knuckleheads and we were fighting so many internal issues, but we were still able to make, you know, the conference tournament, which a lot of people say, you know, they pat us on the back about, which it's not what we want to hear. You know, we have our eyes set on higher settings. So it's just going to be a thing of anyone in this league could be good. But those would be probably some of the top teams that I would look at. Western, SIUE, and Little Rock and us, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Again, John Aldridge here on WREF. Talking about the non-conference ramping into the OVC slate, what do you see as the biggest improvement this team has made from the start of the non-conference to, we're not quite there, but the end of the non-conference slate?
I think our pace and our tempo, you know, it's something that Coach Gerard has always preached. And when I first got hired on his staff at UIndy, you know, it was something I picked on very quickly that he wants to play fast, and that's 1 through 5 being able to play fast. And, you know, I think our progression from earlier in the year, because, again, we're trying to balance these guys, and we are a heavy set team. We have a lot of offensive sets because they're really good sets that Coach Gerard has, and trying to find that balance and that mesh of being a very good half-court offensive team but also playing fast and getting these guys to understand that we can play fast and run in transition and flow into a lot of the stuff that we run offensively, and it should kind of be seamless in a way. Like, you should look at it and never see a chop or a break. So I think we've taken huge strides in that regard of finding that balance. We've had games where we've diced teams up In the half-court setting, and then we've also had, you know, the South Dakotas and Indiana States where we're playing fast and we're running, and we say all the time the best offense is no offense. If we can get stops and run and play fast in transition, a layup is probably the easiest points you're going to get in a game. So in using our guys' athleticism, you know, to run and throw it up top to Steven every once in a while, you got Milky trailing, so they can't all just run to the hoop. But I think that would be my biggest thing. You know, defense is something we always harp on, but this group has quickly found the mesh between half-court and transition and just progressing through our playbook, and then just gelling is the hardest thing. You know, you got 5 months to get a group of guys that come from all over the place to understand your system, your culture, but then understand themselves, and this group's done a great job.
John Aldridge here doing a great job on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, pinch hitting for Coach Gerard. We're going to take a step aside. One more Penn Station East Coast sub of this show is Nick Kittle. Back in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise. At Tarooni, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Tarooni, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down at the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Tarooni's.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Attention business owners, are you looking for a bank that understands your unique needs? With First Federal Savings Bank's free business checking, managing your company's finances has never been easier. No monthly fees or minimum balances, convenient online banking, unlimited number of transactions, and dedicated support from their team of experts. With their unique best rate interest rate guarantee and flexible account options, you can keep your business moving forward while maximizing your returns. Visit any of their 10 convenient banking locations to learn more. First Federal Savings Bank, member FDIC.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show at Tarooni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein, happy to be with you. Stan Gerard is out. John Aldridge doing a good job filling in. And right now, the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show, Nick Kittle, is here. For the first time all year, we're seeing Nick Kittle.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Appreciate your time, Nick. And, well, it's funny because you and Jack have one main thing in common. Yeah, you're both seniors, but you've both made Stan Gerard Radio Show appearances before you've made appearances on the court this year. But you're coming off of an injury from last year, Jones fracture in one of your feet against Little Rock. I think it was 8 games left in the season, so towards the end of the year. But now, the good news, and we're going to all clap for you, Nick Kittle is back. He's cleared.
Thank you.
How does that feel? I know it's a long recovery process in the rehab.
Yeah, it's gratifying. I'm still not there yet. Like, it's a process. But it's definitely just the small wins every day of being cleared, and then just progression back on the court, just seeing those, like, my feet getting under me again and kind of feeling like how I did last year. It's hopeful, but it's still a long process. I need to just keep working at it, but I don't know, it's exciting. I've had injuries like this where they just, like, would linger, but you just got to keep the faith and just believe that there's just a plan for you. And but yeah, it's been feeling great.
You know, it's never easy when an athlete is out, and I know that the recovery and rehab is something that you have to dedicate yourself to every day, and so that's not easy either. But maybe the most difficult thing for you and for the team is that you were scheduled to come back probably just before the season began. You suffered a setback. What was that like, just getting really close, really basically being at the finish line, and then going back maybe a couple of months after that.
Yeah, it was tough. I was initially supposed to like start practicing in July. That's when I was getting out of the boot and everything, and then had another break underneath my initial break, which is unfortunate. And you just look forward to every day, like you have this many days till the doctor's appointment and stuff, and just counting down the days, and you're just getting more excited that the anticipation's building, and then you find out like that you have to sit out for a longer time. It's definitely a kicker. But I've had just a great support system around me, just always encouraging me with my family, my girlfriend. They just always just keep on reminding me that it's can't really control it that much, but you gotta like just look at the bright side of it and just keep working. I love this game so much, and it's hard to just sit back and practice and just watch. It's the most boring thing ever. I just want to be out there playing.
I was going to ask you what it's like. I'm not going to do that now. It sounds like it was not fun.
No. But, yeah, it's tough, but you just got to keep your faith and just believe that there's a reason for things to happen. And there's, that's life, though. Like, you'll be hit with setbacks, but it just matters how you bounce back from it and how you grow. And so it was tough, but I'm hoping that was the last little setback, and now it's just all gas, no brakes.
I like it. So, when you are recovering, of course, you're focused on your recovery, but it's a different mindset than when you're actually playing, and looking forward to seeing you play next week. But I'd imagine that you were able to dedicate yourself a little bit more towards a different sport, at least in some capacity in volleyball. And you mentioned your girlfriend, Carly Soborowski, had a really strong season for USI volleyball. Was that the most volleyball you'd watched?
Probably ever.
Probably, right? Yeah. I mean, you learned a lot about the game.
Before I dated her, like, I'd never seen the volleyball game entirely. It's just, like, I didn't understand what was going on. And just being able to watch it, it kind of, like, made, like, just watching our games this season, I'm just like, gosh, like, my competitive juices are just flowing. Yeah. I just want to, like whether it be losing, I'd be just like, gosh, put me out there. I'm trying to help out. And it just, like, reminds me of, like, every day just watching her play and just, like, oh, I just want to have that feeling again. It was just competitive, just going out there to beat another team and get a win. But, yeah, I've done a lot of volleyball watching and can tell you a little bit more now about what goes on. But
yeah, my favorite part about you getting more into the sport is that when I would be calling the game on ESPN Plus, the USI volleyball games, it got to the point where we're talking about someone who, like you said, just 2 minutes ago, you said, yeah, I really didn't know what was going on early on, but he would go up to me and complain about some calls. He'd be like, can you believe that Carly didn't get that call? And you got pretty into it.
Yeah.
So I give you credit on that front. No, Carly did call me a name. Did you know that? She called me a name the other day.
Really?
She called me a NARP. Now, I know what a NARP is. And it just didn't feel very good. And she had to explain it to me. I was like, I played dumb. I didn't want to, call her out on it. But NARP is non-athletic regular person. And I was just like, all right. Well, because she said, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm a NARP now, like you. And I'm like, all right, thanks. So I got two questions for you. One, can you talk to her about something like that? I mean, maybe, like, put in a good word for me.
She's probably listening right now. So.
And then two, how did it feel to be a NARP? Because you were kind of like that for me.
It's boring. Like,
yeah, it sucks, right? Yeah.
It sucks.
Except you were able to get stuff off of the top shelf as a NARP, and I'm not the latter. But maybe you can, like, talk to her about that for me. Because, I feel like that wasn't cool.
Do we need a different name for it?
No, I think it's appropriately named. I just would like to not be called that, even though I am that.
I get it.
I mean, I work in athletics. I work in sports. I guess this is not good enough.
Just hold high standards. I mean, she's complaining about it right now. She's like, I'm just a NARP now. I'm just not being able to do anything. But
should be calling her a NARP. The same.
No. I don't know.
I feel like you're not going to put in a good word for me.
Well, she's probably listening right now.
So it's not like we're going to have her call in. I'm just saying, like, right now, you're saying the right things, but I just don't get a strong feeling from that side of you.
Well, I need to make sure I'm okay.
Pulling the trigger on it. Oh.
Yeah. So keep the good graces.
I hear you. You're really just looking out for yourself. There's a word for that. It's called selfish. Anyway, Nick Kittle here on WREF, the Stan Gerard Radio Show, Penn Station East Coast sub of this show, getting ready to play, finally clear to play after the Jones fracture in your left foot against Little Rock last year. 14 starts a season ago. You were an important piece for this team. That said, we're just talking about Stephen Aloney. He is soared in that center role. When you come back for Shawnee State on Sunday, and of course they're going to ease you in, but overall, what do you see your role being for this season, for this team?
Just seeing our team play, and we have got some really strong pieces out on the floor. I just want to, like, just getting back into it, I just want to help winning. Like, this is my fifth year in college. Past 4 years, not really the success I've wanted to see as a team. And that's just, like, I just want to impact winning in any way I can. Whether at the start, that's just being a great role, helping out the scout team, and just helping out the starters get ready for the game next, or doing whatever on the court that needs to be done, or just being a great teammate and a great leader for people that don't know what's going on or need some help. I just want to be able to do anything that helps winning, because at the end of the day, you can care about stats and all, but I just want to be in March knowing after the conference tournament that we achieved something, and it's more gratifying when everybody's bought in and you feel like kind of just like you've helped. Just there's just a lot of people that have worked, put in a lot of effort towards winning. I just want to win. So
it looks like the team's poised to do that. The conference schedule, certainly compared to last year. But last year, like I said, 14 starts for you, by far a career high, and you were extremely successful. What is the difference right now in the version of Nick Kittle that USI is going to get, say, on Sunday, and the one that they had in the early stages of that Little Rock game when you were kind of at the height of your game? I mean, how far off from you are you right now from where you were?
Probably just another, like, a week or so, another couple weeks, because every day I'm trying to get in there, working with Coach Doug, trying to get in shape, conditioning in, trying to take care of my body every day in the training room, trying to at least stay in there for an hour and do whatever I need to get done. So it'll just be like probably a week or two, and then just the mental part of the game, where I was at last year, it's kind of almost grown since just being on the outside, kind of understanding kind of how these players, like, what they like and what they don't like and what their strengths are or not. Just on the outside and learning plays, it's been pretty easy. So the mental part of the game is there, just kind of building back up that confidence, which will definitely come just from, live practice and also getting to play this weekend. So I think not too long.
Nick Kittle here on WREF, no longer a NARP. So a round of applause for that. And really appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on getting back. And I say congratulations because it is an accomplishment. It's something that you've had to work at the entire offseason and beyond into this season. And finally, it's here, an opportunity to play on Sunday and then into the conference schedule in USI men's basketball. Looking forward to having you, as are we on WREF and the fans as well. So that is Nick Kittle, the final Penn Station East Coast sub of this show. And we're wrapping up shop with John Aldridge on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise. At Tarone, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Tarone, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down at the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Tarone's.
Amazing service, all stops, lasting solutions.
not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
Wrapping up shop here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show at Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein, happy to be with you. John Aldridge putting the bow on what's been a fun show. Coach, really appreciate you, your time here filling in for Coach. I think he's done a good job. What do we think? Yeah? Yeah, I think he's done a good job. Were you, I mean, I should have asked off the top, were you nervous at all, you know, being in the hot seat like that?
No. After several years of talking in front of people, you just kind of
get used to it. I know what that's like as a NARP, which I've been told is now not athletic, not non-athletic regular person, but it should be non-athletic radio person. So I'm just going to take that and, Nick, just relay that to Carly if you could. But anyway, getting ready for the next game. You guys have a long break because of finals into Shawnee State on Sunday. It's an NAIA team. You guys are very much the favorites in this game. But what else would you like to see this team accomplish against a non-D1 like you did against East West ahead of that December 19 game against Tennessee State?
I think personally more of the preparation side of things. I mean, from a talent perspective, you know, we can't look at what's on paper or, you know, who gets on and off a bus and all that type of stuff. But I would like to see this team take the approach of how we're going to prep for a team the exact same, whether it's DePaul, Tennessee State, Moorhead, who or whoever. So I want to see our guys early to practice, early in the training room, getting the treatment, getting their bodies ready, staying late, getting shots up, locked into the scout, you know, understanding personnel, tendencies, all that type of stuff, because ultimately that's what's going to be the difference maker when you come down the stretch. You know, if we're in close games, it's going to default back to our principles and details and culture and toughness. So I want to see us respect this opponent and kind of take it, again, like I said, the same way as if we were playing DePaul or anybody else, or if it was the OVC conference tournament game. Like, let's all be locked in, focused, and ready to get a win.
Again, Shawnee State on Sunday, and you'll hear that on WREF at 12:30 start to the pregame show Sunday the 15th, the final non-conference game of the year. I will say, got to be a little bit easier to prepare for Shawnee State than it was for East-West. Am I right? I couldn't find a roster on East-West.
It is, yes, a little bit easier.
Yeah, a little bit easier. Again, we just had Nick Kittle on the show real quick. How do you see him projecting into Sunday, his first game back?
Yeah, I think it's going to come with us talking to Jamal, our head athletic trainer, kind of, and Nick, you know, seeing where they're at, but we have huge expectations for Nick Hiddle and just the stuff that he can do on the court. So we're going to ease him back. Obviously, we don't want to rush into it and have an injury that keeps him out for longer, but we're excited to have him back. He's going to do great things, and can't wait to have him on the floor.
Sunday, 1 o'clock tip against Shawnee State at home. Round of applause for Nick Hiddle and Jack Milkey hopping on the show, and for John Aldridge filling in for Stan Gerard on the Stan Gerard Radio Show. Good night, everyone.